Okay, we actually have two. they're not guests in a sense that they are new to us. They've been with us for some time. One of them is Mark. Mark has asked me, Pastor Benji, Tofi and I would like to share our journey in the Lord in regards to stewardship. And so I said, okay, we're going to schedule sometime. Supposed to be, it is Pastor Sherwin's schedule today, but we bumped off Pastor Sherwin to January. you know, we've been doing a series on 1 Samuel, on the life of King David. And we're going to go back to that sermon series maybe sometime next year. And what I want to do is, if you're familiar with CCF Maine, they did a series on the minefield. You remember that? Those of you who are, checking the CCF Maine, they did a series on the minefield. And you know what? As I was studying 1 Samuel, many of those themes are actually found in 1 Samuel. So we're gonna do that. It talks about the minefield, for example, of anger, the minefield of jealousy, the minefield of immorality. All of those are found in 1 Samuel. But I'm going to reserve that sometime next year. The reason being that, because Mark has asked to share with us on stewardship, I felt that we should do a series on finances. Do you know that Jesus spoke more about money and possessions, more than heaven, about heaven? So there's a lot that we should hear and study. I thought it's appropriate because we are about to end the year, and many of us are probably starting to spend. And then some of us are probably coming up with a New Year's resolution about, how you're going to handle your finances. So I think it's a timely topic. But this is going to start a week, Sunday after next. Okay, so next Sunday, since it's our annual general meeting, I'm going to be preaching on a sermon that is very close to my heart. So I'm not going to tell you what that is for now. But I will preach on that, and after that, we're going to start our series on money matters. All right, so Mark has been with us. He's married to a wonderful wife, Jean. Where is Jean? Okay, Jean, and they have 3 girls. Mark is taking some courses at Regent College. He's basically a businessman, self-employed. And the other one is Tofi. Tofi, where are you, Tofi? Tofi is here. I know Tofi would not want me to share this, but I will do it, Tofi. Tofi has an MBA at Stanford University, was a COO of one of the big corporations in the Philippines. So he came here to Canada about 3 years ago, married to a wonderful wife, Marisa, and they've got 3 daughters as well. Without further ado, please, let's all welcome Mark Lim.
Thank you, Pastor Benji. Well, good morning, everybody. Matagal-tagal na. Well, we have visitors. It's been a long time since I last preached. Thanks, Mark. We have 3 Marks here. Did you see the pogi mark? Can we start with a word of prayer? Let's put ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we pray that you make your presence felt today. Lord, fill this place with the Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you give us open hearts and open minds. Please fill our minds and fill our hearts, Lord, with your words. Help us, Lord, to obey what it is that you have commanded us. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person here. Thank you, Lord, also for loving us. And thank you, Lord, most especially for sending your only Son, Jesus, to die for us, to pay for our sins, Lord. Once again, Lord, thank you for this time together. All this we ask in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Once again, good morning. Are we, do we need coffee? Hello? Good morning. So, just to wake everybody up, please turn to the person on your right and say, it's great to see you today. So turn to the one on your left and say, it's lovely to see you. Some of them are, I'm not convinced, some of them are like, well, it's nice to worship in a community, and that's one of the reasons that we all come together on Sunday instead of just sleeping in. It's to be in community with one another and to show our love to one another. So our short introduction, aside from Pastor Benji, for those that know me, don't know me, my name is Mark Thieu Lim, and to start off with, I'm a sinner. I sin a lot. I've been saved, but I still sin a lot, and I'm still unworthy, but it's only because of God's grace and Him sending His Son Jesus to die for me, to take my place, that I'm here now. And it's such a privilege to be here to share my testimony and to share God's Word, because in reality, it's really just God's Word that will transform us. It's not the speaker. It's not Pastor Benji. It's not the leadership. It's God and His Word. And our testimony is that me and my beautiful wife, Jean, hello, who is up there, if we did not find Christ 9 years ago, we would probably be separated already. And it all started when we joined a small group and got convicted to really start reading the Word of God and form that relationship with Jesus, and finally being able to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So it's really God's Word that transforms us. So I may not be as eloquent as Pastor Benji in terms of focusing on God's Word, but I'll repeat it back. It's really God's Word. It's the application and the source of that power comes from no other than your relationship with Jesus. And it's not from whatever fun or whatever good learnings that we may get, but it's you checking what you've heard today and reading the Word of God. So, I don't think Pastor Benji mentioned that I've also been tasked to be lead servant for finance, for CCF, and it's amazing because we started planning for 2017 last year, and we didn't imagine that we would hit the numbers that we hit. So far this year, we've hit almost 100% increase from last year's givings. Isn't God great? Yeah. And they were telling me that, oh, isn't you, Mark, that told the COS, or Council of Servants, that, oh, we are not aiming high enough. It seems that we are limiting how God is. I don't remember me saying it. But we said we have a big God. Let's set a big goal. And He showed up. And He showed up much, much more. So we set an increase of 50%, but instead of 50%, He gave an increase of 100%. So, wow, it's amazing. So look to the person to your right and say, thanks for being a cheerful giver. Look to the person on your left, say, pahingi naman, please share. So we recently had a leadership retreat, and when we say retreat, it seems that we go there to rest, we go there to relax, but I was wrong. We were made to work until wee hours at night, thinking and praying and working with God on what He has planned for 2018. And it was such a blessed time because the leadership and the key volunteers and leaders came together in Christ as one team. And I was so blessed to see everybody joyfully serving the Lord together. And that's what is key, I think, is that it's not the people that will build a church. It's Jesus that will build a church. And it's us
aligning with God, where He's moving, and we move accordingly. So for 2018, just like CCF Maine, our main strategy will once again be intentional discipleship. Have you heard the term EMAD? Yeah. Who can say what EMAD is? Every member a discipler. So why would we want every member a discipler? For us, actually, we really grew in our faith when we started leading our own small group back in the Philippines. We thought that in us discipling others or journeying along with others, it would bless so many people. But in reality, it's us that are the ones being blessed, right? I don't know if you can a lot of people can resonate. And you don't need to start a small group. You can start a discipleship partnership with just another person, journeying with them, being accountable to each other. And that is one of the accountabilities that will help you grow in your relationship with Christ and grow in your obedience. So that's why one of our goals is to help each member become a discipler. Aside from every member a discipler, EFAD. So we start with every family a D group. So for those with wives, raise hands. Who are the ones? The husbands here? So would you like our wives to be discipled?
Yes.
When Pastor Danny was here, he was telling the story that a lot of husbands want to disciple their wives, but his story was, eh, paano pastor? Sukul man. That means, eh, pastor, she's fighting back. She's not listening to me. Is that true, wives? Do we listen to our husbands and encourage them to be able to disciple us?
Yes.
I'm blessed because every time I wake up in the morning and I turn, I see a miracle. Because if those that don't know my wife before and after Christ, it's a complete 180. Maybe she should share her testimony here. Next time we'll invite her. But it was a complete 180. And not only her, but also me. But it all started when I took charge. When I read the Bible, when I said, I'm going to be a better husband because I want to obey Jesus, that's when she saw that it was true. It was real, and that transformation was really happening from the inside. And I was not doing it myself. I was doing it with God's help. So, let's do our mission and vision for the whole of CCF. Are you familiar with our mission vision? Why we are here and what we are to do and what it looks like? So just to recap, can you read our mission together? To honor God and make Christ committed followers who make Christ committed followers. And the verse, just like here, the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to... So that is our mission, and we want to work with God to make that happen. Our vision, can we all read it together? Movement of millions committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, meeting in small groups and transforming lives, families, communities, and nations for the glory of God. So each one of us is part of something much, much bigger than ourselves. And we have to work with God to help transform people's lives. It's like we are the branches and Jesus is the vine. So we can't do anything without Jesus. So today we'll be talking about being a faithful steward. And before I'd like to, before we start, I'd like to manage everybody's expectations that this is not the same style as Pastor Benji once again. I'd like to have us more have an interaction, and to get you guys to think and to talk to each other. Will that be okay for us to change it up a little? Okay. So our main Bible verses will be on the parable of the bags of gold, also called parable of the talents. Then we will discuss the three T's of Bible stewardship, and we will invite our dear friend Tofi to share. And then I will summarize, and we will have Lord's Supper today. Please bear with me as we seek to compress a six-hour-long study into 45 minutes to an hour. So for those taking notes, we'll just send the PowerPoint so you don't just jot down all the major points and we'll send it all. Before we go to the main text, we want to associate with last week's sermon, which is Wait on the Lord by Pastor Benji. Did anybody download the audio of the sermon? There are some. So every week we send a bulletin to your email and we track those numbers so we can see who opened it and who didn't open it. So please please help us increase those numbers by opening it and viewing the bulletin. It's also a good resource to use for your discussion as couples, as small groups. And we have volunteers that spend hours and hours doing it. So let's try to use what resources God has given us. One thing that struck me in listening again to Pastor Benj's sermon is he kept on reminding us that if we want to live wisely, what do we do? Anybody remember last week? In order for us to live wisely, what are we to do? Stop, look, and listen. And it's listening to God and reading His Word, meditating on His Word. I said once again, it's really God's Word that will transform us. For those that are having a hard time reading parts of the Bible, is there anybody having a hard time reading parts of the Bible? Or is it all easy? No, we all have difficulty. And at first, I started reading Matthew and John, and I enjoyed it. But then when you get down to the other books, it gets harder and harder. So I use a life application Bible study. So it makes it longer, but it explains it clearly. So there are resources like that you can use to help you read God's Word. It's not God's Word alone, but reading commentaries or even going to YouTube. Have you heard of the Bible Project? Oh, that's awesome. That's such a nice video. So you go to YouTube, you look up the Bible Project, and it'll show you an overview of each of the book. So Pastor Benji said that if we want to have right living, we must look at our right thinking and right feeling. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that a lot of times we know what the right thing to do is, but how come we know what's right, but we don't do what is right? It's because it's here, but not in our hearts. So we go back to the two greatest commandments that Jesus told us. To compress all 10, he compressed it to 2. Would you know what that is? Okay, a lot of people know. I'll read it in Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So he said three things. Love God with all our heart, with our souls, with all our minds, right? Our soul is just like our life. Love Him with all our life. So it's aligned to what Pastor Benj said. We have to think rightly. We have to feel. We have to connect what's in our mind to our hearts. And then that is where we will get right living. So So before we read God's word, I would like to challenge each one of you to be able to think about one point that God wants you to learn and obey from these passages and take a minute to share with a small group, maximum of three people together. So if we can, if you can help us read Matthew 25, verse 14 to 13. For it is just like a man to go on a journey. Slaves. Give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall be more. Shall have. The one who does not have, even what he does shall have. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Okay, so what did you learn? You can face partner to your right or left, and just think, which one are you, the one with five, are you the one with two, are you the one with one? Okay, due to our time constraints, you can continue discussions after, but I'll just give you some of my observations. If you look in verse 15, where it says, to one he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. So, yeah, but it's really God that knows each one of us, and he knows what we can handle. So we shouldn't compare that, oh, why is it that person, he has so much? Why does this person have so little? It's not our call. We should not compare. We should not complain. But we should look at our own situation and what God has entrusted to us. In that later verses, you can see that with little that we have, if we're faithful with it, then what will God do? He will give us more. Because we can be trusted with little, then we can be trusted with more. Another verse that I observed was verse 21 and 23. The one that produced 5 talents and produced 5 more versus the one with 2 talents who produced 2 more. If you notice, in verse 21, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Both the 5 and the 2, he said exactly the same thing. But how come it's the same thing? The other one produced 5. The other one produced 2. So God is not concerned with how much or the quantity or the numbers. He's concerned about our faithfulness. Right? How faithful are we with what he has given us? And lastly, in verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. What does it tell us? That this parable is a story when the disciples were asking, "Jesus, when will you return?" And he told this parable saying that the master left, and when he comes back, he will hold us into account. And what did the third servant do, the one with 1 bag of gold? He was afraid. He thought the master was a wicked master. So was he? In the Bible, one of the things Pastor Bench said was, they talked about money a lot. Jesus talked more about money than anything else. But in this word, if you know the most repeated Bible command, God said it 365 times. And this, God knows us so well that he keeps on repeating it every day. And this is one of the dream stoppers. Like, people's dreams don't come true because of this. Would you know what the most repeated Bible command is? Do not be afraid or fear not. Do we often let fear stop us from doing what we think is right or wise? Yes, it's natural. What do we do when we fear? God also promised something. The most repeated Bible command is connected to that Bible promise. The most repeated Bible promise is, "Do not fear, because I am with you," right? God is here with us. Whether we recognize it or not, God is here with us. So why be afraid? So just to summarize the 3. And then this one, I will just go quickly, but I'll send this to you because we don't have as much time anymore. And we're planning probably a stewardship seminar. Would people be interested in a biblical stewardship study? Yeah, so we'll organize that together with our new COS equipping leader, Brother Dennis. So underlying basis for biblical stewardship: God owns everything and has given us the privilege and responsibility of managing his resources. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Because God desires us to be faithful managers of his resources. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. See, because God holds us accountable for the resources entrusted to us. As we said, Matthew 5, verse 19 says, "Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them." Indeed, because wise managers receive rewards from God for good management. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And what is God's part? God is the owner of everything we possess. Giving up ownership means acknowledging in our hearts and minds that we possess, but he owns. Don't be possessed by your possessions. The principle here is the Lord is the creator of all things, and he has never transferred ownership of his creation to man. God is the controller of our lives, And we know that God causes all things to work together for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8, verse 28. The principle here is God is more concerned with our long-term progress toward holiness or Christ-likeness than our short-term feelings of happiness. Is it true that happy wife, happy life? Totoo ba yun? Most of the time. Hey, what if a happy wife means she wants a 3-carat ring? So that's the exception. Can we go home and bring 3 carrots instead? And say, wifey, I have 3 carrots. It means I love you. Right? So if we can rephrase that, a happy wife in God is a happy life, because a godly wife and our spirit-filled wife will want what's best, not only for her, but for the family and for God. So, correction, happy wife in God. So no 3-carat ring. So what is God's part? God is a provider of all our needs, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So Pastor Benji also mentioned this verse last week, and it's really, if we want to live wisely, we just need to follow this verse. Seek first his kingdom. Be responsible to do our part. Since we have acknowledged that God is master in regard to our money, what are we best described as when it comes to how we must handle money? We are God's stewards. So what does steward mean? Steward is just a manager for another. So you make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. We are to be faithful. We must be faithful with what God has given us, a little or a lot. As we said, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. We must be faithful with what God has given us, or he will take it away. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So this is talking not only of material possessions, but also the opportunities and responsibilities God has given us. Application, we'll just look at 3 T's of being a faithful steward: time, treasures, and talent. We'll ask our brother Tofi to come up later for the talent. So therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So to help us realize the value of time, let's take a look at the value of 1 month. Ask a mother who has given birth to a premature baby. Actually, my brother gave birth to my sister-in-law gave birth to a premature baby. And that 1 month really, they had to stay in the hospital. And I think Cece could also relate that she was in the hospital. So the value of time is really immeasurable. To realize the value of 1 week, ask someone who has lost a loved one and what a week with that person would mean right now. To realize the value of 1 day, ask a daily wage laborer, especially those who just need that money to buy food for their families. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet after a long absence from each other. May mga lovers batay dito. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask someone who just missed a plane flight. I can relate because I got left. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who just avoided a car crash. And to realize the value of a split second, ask the silver medalist in the Olympics. Next is the stewardship of treasure. It is the responsible allocation of financial resources in the areas of earning, giving, saving, investing, spending, and debt relief in recognition of God's ownership over all things. Why should we be good stewards of our treasure? Treasure or money is the primary competitor with Christ for the lordship of our lives. A lot of times, it's what takes up most of our mind to thinking about money. Is money a goal? Should we make it as a goal to earn more money? Or is money a tool? It's a tool that we can use to live in God's purpose for each of our lives. And if we make money our goal, do we not make ourselves slaves to money? So this verse says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. God wants to protect us from financial bondage. What is financial bondage? Financial bondage is being held captive or obsessed not only from the lack of money or overspending, but also from an abundance of money. Mahirap din pala maging mayaman. It's hard to be rich. They have different problems, especially when the stock market crashes, they worry so much. But then for those that don't have much, they don't worry as much. They worry about something else. But each of us have our own worries. And to think, have you heard of billionaires committing suicide? So from having 10 billion, they now have 1 billion, and they commit suicide, right? So what would we give to have 1 billion? So we often forget what we have because it blinds us. So one solution for that greed is to always be grateful. One example of how our sinful nature comes out is when we earn 1,000 pesos and we have that goal, what's the next goal after 1,000? 10,000. After 10,000? 100,000. After 100,000? 1 million. After 1 million? 10 million? After 10 million? 100 million. And it goes on and on, right? It's never ending. And it's a trap. And we're just lucky that we have the truth, and the truth will set us free from that trap of the love of money. In other words, being controlled by money, these are a lot of our worries: overdue bills, debts unpaid, investment worries, family needs unmet, overextended credit cards, deceitfulness, greediness, covetousness, or always comparing, GRQ, get rich quick, which I don't know, it relates to Tofi's talk in a bit, and lack of commitment to God's word. So how can we be good stewards of our treasure? Be confident of God's sovereignty and providence that he will do his part. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. So this is a verse about robbing God and how the Israelites were cursed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? Tithes and offering. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Wow. We can rob God. But the next verse is, we can't test God, but he gave this verse that he said, test me. So he said, Malachi 3 verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it. So our story with Jean and I, when we became believers, we did not know about tithing, and we were raised so that we look at money highly. So giving it away is not really part of our top priority. But we decided to try it out, to test the Lord. And we gave, not the 10%, but we gave a lot. And after a week, it was incredible. God moved and he poured it back to us. Out of nowhere, he just poured favor on us from other men. And it's in his word. And one thing that has caused in our hearts is to release that love of money. That if we freely we give, freely we will receive. But if our hands are like this, then how can we receive? Right? We are so tight, we don't want to give. And one thing that we do nowadays, a simple thing, is that when we go to a hotel, and a lot of times, makalat, or we're very messy because we have three kids, we leave a tip for the housekeeper, right? And sometimes we think, we forget these are the people that are really in need. We leave a note on how God loves them. And today, last time, we left a Bible track to just remind them that thank you for doing the hard work that you're doing and that God loves you. It's a reminder. Even as simple as eating out in restaurants, the people that we interact with most, the waitresses, we try to leave a bigger tip. Not like before, oh, let's calculate how much is 10%. She's so sungit. minus. Sungit is like, what's sungit in English? She's such a snob. But now we generously give because we wanna bless others with what God has given us. So it's in these simple things that we try to also be good stewards of. So the lesson there is, be a faithful steward by not withholding from God what belongs to Him. Are we faithful in giving back to God the first fruits of His blessings? The last T is stewardship of talent. So can I call up our brother Tofi to share his message? And before he comes up, I'd just like to share that I've seen a lot of people, but this is one of the most generous men I have seen. So he sees a need. He takes action right away to meet those needs. And I was so encouraged, and I try to follow his examples of that generosity. So can we give Tofi a big round of applause? Sorry, technical difficulty. Okay?
Too high tech for me. Okay, wait, how do I present this slide? I click on it. Okay. Yan yung tinatawag na hashtag shameless plug. I'm Tofi Concepcion, now better known as Mr. Bitcoin. Gayahin ko si Mark. Let's do a little, if I can ask everyone to stand up, we'll do a little warm up. So, I used to be in the funeral business. So, you look to the person to your left and say, I'm glad you're alive. And then I told the pastor, I'm sorry, I can't say that. Kasi I'm in the funeral business eh. Nabubuhay kami sa patay. Now, in Psalm 139, 14, it is written, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Sa Tagalog, kahanga-hanga at katakot-takot. Now look to the person to your left and decide which one they are. Okay, please be seated. So, So in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." That is, God gave us the ability to work and create useful things that create wealth. What's the proof of this? In the last 50 years, the greatest inventions, the internet, computers, all cell phones, all of these came about because man taught a rock how to think. Think of that. Man taught a rock how to think. All of those chips are made from sand, silicon. And all of these things happen because we were able to teach a rock how to think. And that is what God shares with us, that it is our ability, He gives us the ability to produce wealth. God gives us talents and blessings, as Mark discussed earlier. But you know what? Those talents can also, and blessings can also become a trap. I had more than my fair share. I was president of a company with over 5,000 people, and I had blessings people aspired for. Those talents, and he said, well, Stanford MBA, cum laude sa UP, mabangong pangalan, all of the things that people would say one should have, and this became my functional savior. This became the source of my identity other than Jesus Christ. But I had to make a moral decision not to certify wrong financial data, and I found myself walking away from all of that and immigrating here to Canada. In fact, I wasn't even able to bring Marisa for almost a year. I fruitlessly applied for jobs for 6 months while slowly depleting my retirement funds. With all my credentials, I thought it'd be easy to get the degree. I mean, to get a job. Well, that didn't work out. I heard about Bitcoin, and I tried to buy it from the world's first Bitcoin ATM machine. Guess what? It broke. But that turned out to be part of God's plan, because I got to meet the founders who I later discovered were selling that machine. I made them an offer. Check this out. With money I didn't have. I said I would match the offer of the other people and still give them equity in the company. But I went to friends, and I was able to produce the money, only to find that the machine manufacturer had software problems and went bankrupt. So my savings and my money from my friends just bought a useless white elephant. Worse, the general manager of Waves Coffee wanted to evict me. Not only was my savings gone, but I'd wasted my friend's money. From the president of a top 300 Philippine corporation, I was cleaning the toilet in Waves Coffee. I cried out to the Lord and dedicated the business to Him. Then things slowly started to improve. I found a software provider who could retrofit the machine. Then somebody else sold me another Bitcoin ATM machine that they couldn't make work. They sold it to me on installment for 3 years. God blessed me with a friend who was able to upgrade it and make it work. Business picked up, but since it was God's business, I was constantly reminded by Deuteronomy 8:11-17. If you'd like to read with me, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And that, to us, brothers and sisters, is a great temptation here in Canada, where, because we have almost everything, we forget who is the source of blessings. I put Bibles on my desk, as well as religious readings, as a subtle declaration of my faith. And by the grace of God, I've used business transactions to bring two people to Christ, and I'm working on one more. But a few months ago, I was convicted by the preaching of Pastor Benji to help out fellow Christians. As we know, our brother and sister, Gerald and Hazel, moved to Toronto, and I found out they were struggling with exactly my problems a few years ago. New place, no job, slowly depleting your savings. I was moved to help them, and I sent them a Bitcoin ATM machine, telling Gerald that, you know what, bro, I'll try to help you, but that can probably earn only $2,500 a month, which could only just help you a bit while you look for a job. We selected a Filipino bakery in a quiet neighborhood of North Toronto, but we were up against 118 Bitcoin ATMs operated by the three largest operators in Canada. Conventional wisdom would say, no chance. But God. That first weekend, we immediately generated sales, and word of mouth spread that we had the best prices in Toronto. People drove more than 20 kilometers to go to that shop, and in the first week, that machine sold more than the 10 machines in Vancouver combined. We installed two more machines, and those were so successful that the sales of those three machines together were greater than the sales of Vancouver and Calgary combined. So customers came to us, and literally the nets were overflowing as the machines were so full of money, we had to keep emptying them. This morning, Gerald has to go out and empty two of them. It's grabe. How do you translate that in English? So in barely 3 months, God has been faithful and provided for the needs of this family he loves. I'm hoping to help another family now, and I'm praying that I have more resources so I can help them, that they in turn can bless others. A mentor taught me that we are like faucets. If we pass more blessings, we become a bigger faucet. If we're stingy, we become smaller faucets. If we pass nothing, we'll get nothing because we might explode from the pressure. What I've learned is God had to break my heart in order to teach me that everything comes from Him. And it is His will and His choice to bless me. I am not the owner of these things, since everything in the world is the Lord's. I am merely a steward chosen to use His gifts for His glory. Amen.
Thank you, Tofi. Can we just pray for Tofi? Lord Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for Tofi sharing, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his testimony. We pray, Lord, that you continue to give him favor. Bless him and his family and protect them, Lord. And Lord, we'd like to thank you for his life and what he has shared, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be seeking to help those in need as well, Lord. He has given us a good example to follow, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we move where you are moving, Lord. And Lord, again, thank you for Tofi and his generous heart, Lord. All this we ask in Jesus' my name we pray. Amen. I think we forgot to ask for a first-time guest. Did we ask first-time guests? Second-time guests? I think Joseph is second time here, so welcome, Joseph. So we're glad that you enjoyed your first service, and we're happy that you keep on coming. We hope that you get plugged into a small group and grow in a community, because as Pastor Peter always says, we are not a big mega church, but we are a small group church, a church made up of small groups. So, there's one more. So this is the Bitcoin prices. So from almost 10, now it's 11,000. Sorry, 14,000 now. Yeah, when you say Bubble 101 and GRQ, get rich quick. So take that with a grain of salt, because. So to conclude, let's be a faithful steward is our message for the day. And the three T's that of being a faithful steward is time, treasure, and talent. It's not limited to any of those, but hopefully next time we can discuss in our biblical stewardship class in more detail in a slower fashion. We just needed to catch up because we have Lord's Supper. And I'd like to end with two more slides. And really, this is how I envision my life to end. When I finally die and meet my Maker, I just hope that this is what He will tell me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into your Master's joy or your Master's happiness. And what a delight that would be. I would like it tomorrow, but he has tasked me to do a lot of other things, and I just want to obey and be able to bring more and more people to Christ. Always remember that God's perspective of success is having spiritual riches, not worldly riches. Let us all be faithful stewards with the help of the Holy Spirit. And to end, I'll look at Matthew 25, verse 20. Or verse 16, Matthew 25, verse 16. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once. That's a key word. Went at once and put his money to work. To me, that says, do it right away. Whatever blessings he has given us or whatever he has put in our hearts today, let's take action into it and do it right away. So I often say to my daughters, oh, what is delayed obedience? So if you don't do it already, is that still obedience? That's already disobedience. And that is what God is teaching us. Whatever He has put in our hearts today, let us go right away or go at once and obey. And let's be pleasing to Him. And if we are pleasing to God, what do you think He will do? So thank you. And that ends our talk for today.
Before we go into our Lord's Supper, let me just share briefly some of my reflections on the passages that we've read today. And I think these are fundamental to stewardship. One of the things that I am hoping that to see in our people is for them to experience what real freedom is. There's one fundamental truth that's very clear from God's Word. That truth is that God
is the owner of all things. If He is the owner of all things, there is no reason for us to struggle, to pressure ourselves, because you and I do not own the thing that we call our own. That is, for me, freedom. Job was so blessed by God. He was a very wealthy man. But he was also a righteous man. Satan asked God if he can test Job, because in his mind, the only reason this man is worshiping you is because he is blessed. And he went through not just financial testing, he was bankrupt. Not only was he bankrupt, all his family, their children, were taken away. The wife was so disgusted with him because even his own physical health failed. And the wife said, "Curse God and die." What did Job say? "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." For a person to be able to say that from your heart, that person understands that God is the owner of all things. As we will be doing a sermon series on money, on finances, one of the things that I will begin would be the theological truth that we have zero. We are nothing. From the moment we were born, mother's milk was a gift from God. Everything that we have today are from God. And He owns all of this. That's why, as I was reflecting on the passage, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, you know, that applies not just to our finances, it applies to our children. I know we have, some of us have teens. Time will come when they will go to university, and it's hard to let them go. But I'm reminded that even our own children are the Lord's, and we must learn to let go. The earth is the Lord's, fullness thereof. That's why when I was reflecting about that in regards to Malachi chapter 8 that Mark read earlier, didn't you wonder why God said, "You robbed me"? That is in the context of His ownership. He gives us 100, he lets us keep, He gives us 100%. He lets us keep 90%. And the 10% actually He doesn't need. It is our worship. And this 10%, our tithes and offerings, is used for His kingdom work. And yet, we say no. And that's why now I understood that passage. Will a man rob God? Yes. Because all of it belongs to Him. He said, keep the 90%. But we say, no, I will keep 100%. Now I understood more clearly what Malachi says. It proceeds from the theological truth, or the fundamental truth. God is the owner of all things.